All right, church. Well, if you have a copy of Scripture, and I hope you do, would you please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This morning, we're going to walk through three short verses, verses 9 through 11 this morning. If you don't have a copy of Scripture with you, we invite you to take that black pew Bible there right in front of you. You can turn it to page 988. And you'll just be able to follow along with us then as we open up Scripture together. We just feel like it's important that you have God's Word in front of you, whether that's on your phone, whether that's a hard copy of God's Word. We want you to be able to engage with God's Word this morning as well. Well, guys, if you've been with us over the past few weeks, we have looked at Paul's teaching to the Thessalonian believers when it comes to the end times. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mike talked about the rapture. It's a moment where Jesus will gather believers before the tribulation period. In that portion, it says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Jesus will return, gather up all believers, those who are dead and those who are still living, and gather them to himself. And then last week, Pastor Brian talked about the day of the Lord. It's a time of intense judgment, unlike anything the world has ever seen. It's a time of war, a time of famine, a time of disasters. And I don't know about you, but those two events have, in my own heart, in my own life, brought up a lot of worry and fear. Am I the only one? You guys, anyone else worried about what this end times is going to look like, or is it just me? All right, some of you guys, good. This message is for you then. And for the rest of you, it will be by the end because I'm about to scare you straight. I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. There have been a lot of messages about doom and gloom, about the end times. This is not going to be one of them. I actually think that God's Word actually has a lot to say about the end times that we can take in a confident and hopeful way. But I get it, it's hard. Because every time you open up the news or open up your social media feed, we are reminded over and over again that we live in a broken world that seems to be heading toward the end. And I get it. Every generation of believers from the moment the start of the church in Acts chapter 2 till today has believed that we are living in the end times. Because you just look around. You look around and see, man, there are countries at war with each other. There are rumors of nuclear war. There are economies that were once super strong are now collapsing around us. There are natural disaster after natural disaster that we see show up on our feeds each and every day. And man, it is easy for us just to consider and to think about. Are we living in the last days? What's going to happen to my loved ones? Am I ready for what's to come? And am I going to be a part of that? But listen, this fear and anxiety about the future is nothing new. Actually, in spring of 1939, the people of Great Britain were prepared for war. The Nazis had invaded Poland, and Hitler's forces were advancing across Europe. And Britain expected London to be bombed at any moment. And sensing the fear and anxiety and worry of their people, the government printed 2.5 million posters with this simple yet bold statement: stay calm and carry on. You've probably seen this on t-shirts. You've probably seen this stay calm and coffee on, stay calm and all these things, whatever it may be. But the original intent was meant to calm a people that didn't know if when they went to bed each night that they were going to wake up the next day. And it was the British government's attempt to steady their people, to bolster courage, and to help people to keep moving forward. And church, this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11, we see Paul's version of keep calm and carry on. And in the midst of the fears of the end times, God calls us to do three things this morning. First, God calls us to rest in his plan. Second, God calls us to trust in his provision. And lastly, God calls us to encourage his people. And the key truth that we are going to gather from this passage that I want you to understand this morning is this, is that you don't have to be anxious about the end times. You don't. And I believe it's God's intention for his people not to be anxious about the end times, but instead face them boldly and with confidence and hope. Because, church, when we remember who God is and what he has done, we can face an uncertain tomorrow with confidence. So I want to read those verses together. I want to pray over our time, and then we'll dig into what God has for us today. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9, says this. It says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Let's pray. Father God, we are treading into some, what I feel for many of us is uncertain waters. Just talking about the end times, talking about the rapture, the return of Christ, the tribulation period, all of that, Lord, can just bring in us so much fear and anxiety, God, and I get it, and I've been there. But God, I pray today, Lord, that your word would speak to our hearts, that we would remember your plan, that we would remember, God, your provision, God, and that we would remember, God, that we are not in this alone, but you have given us your people to walk through these moments together. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would just give me clarity as I speak from your word. I pray, Lord, that I would do so with theological insight, Lord, and correctness and accuracy. I pray, God, that these would be things that we can apply to our lives moving forward, and that we would leave here, God, hopeful for your return, not fearful about it, Lord. So God, I just ask, would you watch over our time as we spend some time talking about your word this morning? We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, the first thing that God calls us to do instead of worrying about the end times is to rest in his plan. So God calls us to rest in his plan. How many of you guys have been on an airplane within the last year or two? Raise your hands. Okay, a lot of you. Cool. Every time we fly on a plane, it is an act of trust. Think about it. We trust that the aircraft is built strong enough to support us and the other passengers, that it's not going to fall apart midway through our flight. We trust that the pilot knows the way and is capable to getting us there. We buy a ticket saying, I'm going to go to this destination, but really we're trusting, can that pilot fly that plane to that spot? We trust that when we land, we're going to arrive at the right destination as well. You can imagine. Imagine you expect to go to Florida, and you get off the plane, and you end up in Scranton. That is a bad trade. And it'll be kind of weird if you take off from Scranton and you get off here. I'm in the same spot I was an hour ago, whatever. But we trust all the time, don't we? We put our lives in the hands of some welded metal with a couple engines on the side and an infallible human to get us to where we want to go. And I'm not knocking pilots. I know we got some pilots here. Don't hate me. But listen, if we can trust some welded metal and a pilot with our lives, how much more should we trust the God of the universe with our salvation, with his plan? Think about it. In his wisdom, God has already charted a course for our future. In his strength, he holds us in the palm of his hand. In his faithfulness, he keeps his promises. And unlike an earthly pilot, he doesn't just hope that we're going to arrive safely, he guarantees it. Look with me again at verse 9. In verse 9 it says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." And listen, so much has been written on this verse, and I can't share everything this morning. If you have other questions, please reach out afterwards. But I want to just note a few things. The first is that the word destined means to assign or determine. It literally means that God has a specific plan for his people that cannot be altered. God has determined this is what's going to happen to his people, and nothing can change that. For believers, this plan ensures that we will not face his wrath. So often when we think of wrath, we think about hell. We think about the eternal separation from God. We think about the torment of being isolated from him. But wrath is much more broader than just hell. I believe that it talks about wrath of any kind. And in the context that we see in 1 Thessalonians, Paul is writing, is talking in the verses right before this verse about the wrath that's going to be poured out at the day of the Lord during the tribulation period. And so what Paul is writing is saying, hey, God just hasn't destined you for hell. Of course we can rejoice in that. But Paul is also writing, but God has also destined you not to experience the wrath that the rest of the world is going to experience during the day of the Lord as well. It means that we're not going to be here. That's why the doctrine of the rapture that Pastor Mike talked about a few weeks ago is so important. That is the vehicle to literally get Christians out from the earth, so that God could begin dealing with the rebellion and rejection and sinfulness of this world at that moment. But we are not destined for that. We see this in other scriptures as well. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 says, Paul is saying, he calls us to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So Paul's reminding his readers over and over again, yes, life is hard. Yes, there's some uncertainty, but you can be certain about this fact, that God will deliver believers from his wrath, both in hell, but then also during the tribulation period as well. But listen, all of us have anxious thoughts, especially surrounding God's plan. There have been times in my life I have wondered, am I good enough? Does God have a plan for my life? How can I know for sure that I'm going to be saved from the horrible moments during the tribulation period? I remember growing up reading that Left Behind series, which I actually think isn't bad, but I remember being scared to death, thinking if I'm a part of that, I'm toast. And knowing what I know now, which, like, I have basically very little survival skills. Like, I can tell you some facts. I can encourage you. I'm pretty good at that. But, like, listen, if it comes down to we got to lead these people and through like a zombie apocalypse, I am not your guy. And so it scares me even more now, knowing that, like, okay, if we're going to go through that, I'm toast. But thankfully, that's not the case. And friends, when we have these anxious thoughts about what is God's plan and what's going to happen, when we have these anxious thoughts about the world, your family, or what might be, we need to remind ourselves that we are not destined for wrath. As if you struggle with this, if you have those anxious thoughts, memorize 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9. Just hold that close to your heart. That is a promise from the Lord of what he is going to do for all believers. Don't let fear and anxiety take hold when every what-if scenario comes about. Don't listen to every conspiracy theory about what's going to happen next. Some of us just need to learn to rest in God's plan and trust that he knows what he's doing. Remember that God isn't sleeping, that God knows what he's doing, and his sovereign plan assures our salvation from the future wrath to come. But not only does God call us to rest in his plan, God also calls us to trust in his provision. Look at verse 10. It says this, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So verse 9 talks about God's plan. Verse 10 talks about how all of this is possible. And our future salvation isn't wrapped up in who we are and what we do and all the details that we have planned out. Our future provision, our salvation from the wrath to come is completely fulfilled through the cross of Jesus Christ. See, here's why you and I don't need to worry about the end times. It's not because we have to have all the details figured out. You don't have to have a year's supply of stuff in your basement just in case. You don't need like 100 pounds of rice and everything else. I mean, if you do, you do. That's fine. But that's not going to help. You're not going to be there. But the only thing that is going to help us in that day is completely being reliant upon what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And trusting and resting in that fact. Because it's because of the finished work of Jesus that guarantees our eternal future. See, Paul bases our confidence on a historical completed act. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross. See, the cross isn't just a sentimental symbol. It's not just something that we wear around our necks. It's not something that we decorate our homes and our churches with. It is a decisive rescue plan. See, think about it, guys. The wrath that was rightly ours fell on Jesus Christ at that moment when he was on the cross. Every sin, past, present, and future, was laid on Jesus Christ. And he bore that penalty in full. At that moment, Jesus stood in our place for our sin and took the full weight of God's wrath upon himself so that we wouldn't have to. See, the gospel is that Jesus became sin for us so that we could have his righteousness. See, guys, during that moment when Jesus was nailed to the cross and the sky went black, God was placing all of his wrath, all of those moments of the world's sin, of your sin, on my sin, upon his precious son, Jesus. See, and the good news of the gospel is that Jesus paid the penalty and the price and has unleashed and unchained us from the power of sin for everyone who trusts in him and him alone for their salvation. But because the wrath of God was paid for, that also means that we don't have to ever pay for God's wrath again. We can trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 says this. It says, "Since, therefore, we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." So again, Jesus took God's wrath so that we wouldn't have to. And I love that word justified. That word justified means just as if I have never sinned. And when we trust in Christ, God no longer sees our sin, but sees his son's righteousness. Instead of filthy rags, God looks at us in righteous garments of white. And because of Christ's finished work, there is no reason for God to pour out his wrath on us. We've been saved from the wrath to come. But how do we make this vital truth a part of our everyday lives? How do we incorporate the gospel truth into our lives each day? And I just want to give you a few ways to do so. One is that we need to rest in the finished work of Christ. Guys, there have been times in my life where Satan just whispers in my ear, "You're not good enough. You deserve God's wrath. I can't believe you would do something like that. How could God ever love you?" And it's in those moments of doubt and anxiety that my mind will often go to the end times then. Man, if I'm so filthy, if I'm so rotten, if I'm so wicked, why would God ever save me from what is to come? But then Scripture shouts back, it's because of the finished work of the cross. It's because Jesus declared in John 19:30, he cried out, "It is finished." The price of sin has been paid for. There is nothing more that you and I need to do except place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So friends, if you're struggling with doubt today, I would encourage you, just trust that the cross is enough. I've had to say it out loud before. The cross is enough. Jesus paid it all. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," friends, he meant it. There's nothing more that we need to do. We just have to trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And secondly, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus each and every day. Guys, I can't tell you the amount of conversations I've had with people, some from this church, some outside of this church. I'll get these messages. And it's normally a link to a headline. It's, "Have you seen this? This is the end." And they're wanting me to respond to think, "Hey, is this mean the end times are coming?" And the question I always give them is, it could be. Each and every day, guys, we are one day closer to Jesus coming back. Each and every day, we're one day closer to the tribulation actually happening. But Scripture says a few things have to happen first. The rapture is going to happen. The church is going to be gathered up with their Savior. A couple of things have to happen before the tribulation really gets going. But friends, there are some of you here that every time you see a headline, every time we move to a different digital currency, every time a political leader rises up, you're just wanting affirmation. This is the Antichrist. Bitcoin's going to be the new digital system, and it may be. But friends, what we need to understand is that our eyes do not need to be focused on what could be. Our faith needs to be grounded into what we know to be true. And so if you struggle with headlines, if you struggle with reading the next best-selling book that details everything out and has everything planned and everything out there, realize, one, like, you're fueling the fire for them. And secondly, we got to understand, like, we got to trust what God's doing. God will have to line up certain things in the global climate for the tribulation to come. And I feel like some of us are trying to get in the way of God. We're trying to stop certain things from happening. We're trying to make sure that this leader doesn't rise up to power or whatever it may be. Instead of focusing on what we should be doing, we should be keeping our eyes focused on Jesus. And how better off would we be if we cultivated our walk with our Savior instead of being consumed with all these conspiracy theories? What if every day we woke up saying, "I want to know Jesus better. I want to get to know this book better. Man, I want to spend more time in prayer." I want to reach my loved ones for Jesus. Imagine if we spent that kind of time and that kind of energy focused on things that matter in the here and now. And listen, I'm not here to knock you. I've done it too. I get it. But God has had to hone in, and we need to be laser focused on what is most important and trust God's plan in the meantime. Because a lot of the people that listen to the headlines and listen to the conspiracy theories and read all the blogs, their heart is everywhere. They're anxious. They're fearful. But Isaiah 26:3 is such a vital promise, where God says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because we trust in you." When our mind is focused on Jesus, our fears will lessen. And we will be more urgent. We will take our anxiety, which is fear about what may happen, to urgency, which is response to something that will happen. We do know that Christ is returning, and that should impact our lives each and every day. So let's keep our eyes on Jesus each and every day moving forward. So God calls us to rest in his plan. God calls us to trust in his provision. And lastly, God calls us to encourage his people. We see this in verse 11. Paul writes, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." Man, I love this verse. I love this verse because verses 9 and 10 are mostly about our inward trust. It's where our heart is at. Verse 11 is about our hands. Verse 11 is about what we do for others. In verse 11, Paul just encourages people to say, "Hey, it's not just about you. We're in it together. Make sure that you encourage other people that the Lord is coming back, and that should change how we live." This is precisely what we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. where the writer writes, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the writers of Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews gets it too. He's like, hey, Jesus is coming back. We're one day closer to his return. Let's keep encouraging each other. Let's stir one another up for love and good works. Man, I don't know about you, but I can't express just how grateful I am for people that do just that in my life. For people that pray for me and let me know about it. For people that call me out on my stuff and my sin. For people that are there to encourage me. Hey, Dave, I see what you're doing. Just keep at it. Keep going. It makes a difference. All of us need those types of people in our lives. And if you need and I need those people within our lives, you know what? Other people need that person as well. So Paul writes, you be that person that encourages. You be that person that says, keep following Jesus. You be that person that has those hard conversations, says, hey, brother, hey, sister, I see you living in sin in this area of your life, and I get it, I messed up as well, but how can I pray and how can I help? I'm going to walk this journey with you. And I wish I had more time to go into like just more tangible ways that we can encourage each other, but I just want to give you two really, really quickly. First, we pray with and for others. We pray with and for others. Praying with and for others is a powerful tool that many of us do not use enough, myself included. We can pray for protection from Satan. We can pray for their encouragement. We can pray for boldness to live out their faith and to share the gospel. Friends, I want to encourage you with one thing. As you have conversations with people, as people are sharing their struggles, as people say, man, I just need strength, I need wisdom, I'm having a rough time, I'm not sure how to deal with this, let me encourage you to say, hey, can we just stop? And can we just pray right now? And some of you are thinking, Dave, that is really weird. Amen. We got a weird one back there. And I get it. It is weird. And when I first started doing it, I was like, this is the weirdest thing, but I feel like it's something I should be doing. And I think I'm just at the point where we just got to understand, if we're God's people, it should be okay to talk to our Heavenly Father with other people as well. And we're beginning to see it, like here within our midst. Man, I love after church on Sunday, just walking around. I people watch. I just watch you guys, just to see what's going on. And I love seeing people every once in a while. Just kind of huddled together and praying with each other. Whether it's up front here, whether it's throughout our building. And it's not weird. It's good. So if you've never done it, try it. I'll leave it there. But we need to pray with and for others. And secondly, we need to prioritize Christ's return. We need to prioritize Christ's return. Listen, the return of Christ is something, is a reality. It's a fact that is going to happen. And we need to talk about it more within our conversations. And one, I just talked about, hey, we need to pray more. That should be a normal vernacular. It should be something that we do. We also need to talk about the fact that Jesus is coming back. When someone's struggling, when they're going through health concerns, or they've been sinned against, or there's, you know, relational trauma, it's okay to point them to the fact that one day God's going to make all things new. It's okay to talk about the glories of heaven and what that's going to be like. I was just messaging with someone last week, someone who used to come to our church, and they were just kind of checking in. And the last thing he said, today we're doing fine. We just can't wait to meet Jesus. And at first I thought, that's morbid. kind of weird. But the more I thought about it, I was like, no, that's right. Like, that's the right kind of attitude. That's where our hope should be. It's okay to talk about the facts that Jesus is going to return, that we're going to stand before him someday. And our lives should reflect that truth. So we can do those two things to encourage God's people. One, we can pray with and for them. And secondly, we can prioritize Christ's return. So guys, Paul reminds us today, his version of keep calm and carry on in the midst of uncertainty about what lies ahead. One is that we rest in God's plan. Two, we trust in God's provision. And three, we encourage God's people. Let me just remind you again of that one truth. You don't have to be anxious about the end times. You don't. We can stay calm by trusting in God. You can put confidence in what he's doing, confidence in the fact that my salvation has been secured through the work of Jesus Christ. But friends, I need to be honest today. These promises are only for those who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus. And if you don't know him, you can't claim these assurances, because outside of Christ, the Bible says our destiny is not salvation, but wrath. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Scripture is very clear. Outside of Christ, our sin has separated us from God. And his justice demands judgment. That's what's going on during the tribulation period. That's what's going on throughout all of eternity in a terrible place called hell. But here's the good news, and I've already mentioned it this morning. Jesus came to take that judgment and take the wrath that rightfully belongs to you, and he put it on himself. And on the cross, he bore your sin, endured God's wrath, and rose again so that you could be forgiven and saved from the wrath to come. And God promises, if you turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus alone, you will be saved. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will be given eternal life and saved from God's wrath in the future. You don't have to face God's judgment alone. And today you can accept Jesus' gift of eternal life by trusting in him and inviting Jesus into your life. John 3:16, a verse that you may know and recognize, says, for God so loved the world, and that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is his offer for you today. So if God is speaking to your heart this morning, do not put it off. Listen, you can do this right now in the comfort of your seats and simply pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and that I deserve judgment and wrath. But I believe you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I want to turn from my sin and put my trust in you alone. You can ask, Lord, please forgive me, change me, and make me yours today. Friends, you can say that prayer today, this morning, even before you leave this place. We would encourage you to do so and turn your life over to following Jesus. So listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning, or you have questions about what it looks like to follow Jesus and be one of his children, man, we would love to have that conversation with you. Whether it's here this morning, I'll be in the back, Pastor Dan will be up front. We would love, again, to have that conversation and talk with you about what it means to have eternal life and be accepted into God's family. We'd love to show you from Scripture how you can be sure today that your sins are forgiven, you've been saved from the wrath to come, And if you've already made that decision today, listen, we would love for you to mark that on your Connect card. You can come up here, you can grab this packet of information. It has a Gospel of John, which is a great place to start if you're a brand new Christian, and then also another packet that just kind of helps you along what it looks like to begin your walk with Jesus. We would love for you to take one of those today as well. But don't leave this place without taking that next step of accepting Jesus Christ today. Say, we're going to close with one more song. So I invite the praise team forward and the prayer team as well. And as they come up, I just want to pray over you guys one more time. Why don't we stand together? Let me pray, and then we'll close with singing. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for today. Thank you, God, for your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Scripture, God, that you have saved us from the wrath to come. God, I pray, Lord, that you would calm our hearts, those people, Lord, that are just anxious about the future, and recognize that you hold us and you hold this world, God, in the palm of your hand. And your word, God, and your promises will come to pass, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that we would rest in the finished work of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that anxiety and turn it into urgency, God, and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to live like Jesus is coming back today. God, thank you for that hope. Thank you, Lord, that we can rest in you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.